We're 3 weeks into a four-week series that we're calling Unsung Heroes in the New Testament, and what we can learn from these individuals, men and women and children who did great things for Jesus and great things for their friends, but for whatever reason, they remain unnamed in the New Testament. 2 weeks ago, we looked at four unnamed men who stopped at nothing to get their friend to Jesus, even if it meant bringing the whole house down. If you'll remember, they unroofed the roof to lower their paralytic friend to Jesus, and because of their faith and their actions, their friend walked away forgiven because of what his friends did for him. And yet we don't know those four men's names. Last week we looked at an unnamed woman who introduced her whole village to Christ, making known however much she knew about Jesus. And she taught us how we need not be gun-shy about sharing what we know about Jesus with our friends as well. And this morning we're going to look at a little lad who opened up his hand and gave what little he had to Jesus, for Jesus to use, and teaches us in the process what Jesus can do with such open hands. Let's read about that together, can we? It's found in John chapter 6, if you brought your own Bible, page 1143, if you want to read in the Brown Pew Bible. If you could bring the house lights up so that folks in the pews can follow along with the reading, that would be nice. John chapter 6 in your own Bibles, or you can reach for a pew Bible in front of you and turn to page 1143. 1143. We're going to read the first 14 verses of John chapter 6. And out of respect for what God has left recorded for us, could we stand as we read these verses together? John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Let's read these now. There God has left these words. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for Jesus himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii. A denarii was an average day's wage in the first century. Philip answered him, 200 average days' wages worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Let's pray together, could we please? And Lord, help us see how we can help the world see Jesus as the one to come whom you would send in to save this world. Help us, like this little lad, see how we can open up our hands and let you use what we have to bring great glory to your son Jesus. It's in his name we pray, God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. All my life, I've heard the record of this event that we just read, entitled The Feeding of the 5,000. How many have heard this miracle called the Feeding of the 5,000. That is the only way I've ever heard this miracle described, the feeding of the 5,000, until I went to Israel. And over there, I heard my Israeli Christian brothers and sisters not call this the feeding of the 5,000 at all. And my Jewish tour guides did not call this the feeding of the 5,000. They called it the miracle of the multiplication. The miracle of the multiplication, which I find a so much better description as to what really went on. Yes, there were 5,000 men that were fed, not counting women and children. The Gospel of Matthew says, which would have been a sizable number considering that the nearest towns, which would have been Bethsaida and Capernaum, those little towns probably had populations of 2,000 or 3,000 each. And so feeding 5,000 outside of town would have pretty much emptied both of those towns. But folks, McDonald's feeds billions. And there's no miracle going on. In fact, how many of you remember the marquee that used to be at McDonald's restaurants that said 100 million served? Anybody remember those marquees? Are you old enough with me to remember the big archway, McDonald's sign, and underneath in yellow letters, over 100 million, maybe it says burgers, I don't know, 100 million served. They had to change all those marquees. And now most of those McDonald's marquees say, billions and billions served. Billions and billions. McDonald's serves more than 5,000 meals every day in our county alone. And there's no miracle. But they don't do it with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's the miracle. The multiplication that Jesus was able to do with those small provisions. That's what Jesus did. And he did it with the help of one unnamed boy, our unsung hero this morning, who teaches us how a little can be turned into a lot if we'll just leave it in the Lord's hand. And he teaches us that lesson by opening up his own hand and letting Jesus have what he has to feed thousands. What did he have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. That was probably this boy's lunch that was given to Jesus and used by Jesus to feed over 5,000 men. How'd that happen? Well, obviously it was a miracle, but it was a miracle of multiplication. Jesus did not feed them out of nothing. He fed them out of something. Out of what? He fed them out of that little boy's open hand. He fed 5,000 men. And that little boy teaches us how that little he had could be turned into a lot because he was willing to leave it in the Lord's hand. What do you have in your hand? What's in your hand? Moses had a staff. You remember the story of Moses and how God used the staff? You know, throw down that staff, Moses. Turn it into a snake. Yeah. Stir that river, Moses. Stir that with the staff. Raise that staff, Moses. Waters divide. Moses had a staff in his hand. The Lord used that staff. I don't know this, but I imagine Noah had a hammer. I think that's where the song came from. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening. I'd hammer all day long. You know, I don't know this, but I can't imagine Noah didn't have a hammer. And God used the hammer. Gideon had a trumpet and a pitcher. David, we just learned in our last series, what did the young shepherd boy have? He had a sling and 5 smooth stones. Samson, this is odd, but Samson had the jawbone of an ass. The wise man had gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Mary, Martha's sister, had a pound of pure nard that she used to anoint Jesus' feet. This little lad, what did he have? whatever was in his hand. And what was that? 5 loaves, 2 fish. But what are they among so many? One New Testament scholar, J.W. McGarvey, says this about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He said, Eastern loaves of bread at this time were thin and small, like good-sized crackers. And around the Sea of Galilee, the salting and preserving of small fish was a special industry. These fish were probably about the size of sardines. The whole supply, therefore, 5 loaves, 2 fish, sardines, would have been about enough to feed one hungry boy lunch. But what would that be among so many? What would that be? That would be exactly what Jesus would use to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And that is exactly what Jesus used to convince that part of the world that Jesus was indeed the prophet who was to come into the world. Never underestimate the power of an open hand, no matter what's in it, no matter how little it is. Never forget the miracle of the multiplication of whatever is given, if it's given in Jesus' direction. What's in your hand right now this morning? What's in your hand? Is it a Bible? Is it a cell phone? If it is, I hope you're not checking your Facebook page. Is it your car keys? Hey, is it the hand of a little lad or a little lass that you're holding right now in your hand? Never underestimate what God could do with what's in your hand if you would just open it up and put it in the Lord's hand for Him to use. Let Jesus have what you have. Now that's a lesson that can be learned from a little kid. Think of that for a minute. Let's forget about the fish and the bread. Let's look at how Jesus used this little kid. Last week we saw how Jesus used an unnamed woman with an unsavory reputation to bring her whole village to Jesus Christ. This morning we're seeing how Jesus used a little kid. And a pretty young kid at that. We know that because the word that the Apostle John uses for child in our text this morning is derived from a Greek word meaning to strike. To strike, as in a single blow, as in a sting. It's what a parent might do to discipline the child. We would call it a paddling. This child was of a paddling age. But this child needed no paddling this day, because this child wasn't in need of discipline. This child was in the midst of teaching grown-ups, teaching us a lesson about opening up our hand to Jesus and about how even a little can turn into a lot if we just leave it in the Lord's hand. That's a lesson that can be learned from a little kid. We have people in this church who have learned that lesson. I won't mention any names. They're trying to stay anonymous. But we have folks in this church who right now, they are using their phones to call folks through the week who can't be here because of this COVID thing. It's just not safe enough, they feel, for them to be here. And they're using their phones through the week to call these individuals and let them know we haven't forgotten them. We still miss them. We look forward to the day when this COVID thing's over and they can be back with us again. In fact, they are slowly coming back to be with us again. In the early service, we actually had a feller that hadn't been with us since February last year. He's been with us online every Sunday, worshiping. I know the hosts online have been welcoming him. I've been getting reports of who's online. We've got basically 60 families watching online every Sunday on different devices, tablets, phones, computers, smart TVs. We know you're out there watching. And this individual was one of them, and this morning was his first Sunday back since February of 2020. This was his first Sunday back. And so happy to have him. But we have folks in this church that are letting those folks know we haven't forgotten you. We still miss you. And we look forward to the time you can be back together with us again. Just by using whatever's in their hand, a little cell phone. Think of all the silly things we use that phone for. And look what we could be using it for if we would just be willing to open our hand and leave what's in our hand in the Lord's hand for Him to use and multiply. We have some other folks here who want to remain unnamed, but they're mailing out anonymous greeting cards through the week to some of these same people I've been speaking of, and they're not signing their names. Instead, they're signing from your church family. We hope you get well soon. We hope you're still well. We hope you'll be back when we can all be back well together. From your church family, so that those folks will know they're part of the family and they're being missed. We have folks in our life groups that invited new folks into their life groups this last week. And some of those new folks came. They jumped into group for the first time this week because someone invited them. And we even have some that are joining us online. My group happens to be the scaredy cats. We're the older people in the church, and we're a little leery about meeting in large groups right now. So we meet Wednesday night online, 6:45. And I actually had two different individuals in our group. There's about 20 in our group. But I had two different individuals receive my link. I email out a link every week that you can click on and join online the video group. But we had two individuals that contacted me and said, "Hey, I've got friends. They want to join us in the group. Can I send them the link to our group and let them join it?" What do you think a preacher says when someone says they want to invite someone to join a Bible study group? "Can you do that? Is that okay? Is that all right?" "Well, I thought this one time, you know, we'll let you this one time, you know." We got folks that are using all these things that we use for all the other things and reasons. Why can't we open up our hands and let Jesus use them and multiply in ways that we could never think of ourselves? We have folks who are putting this service right now online, and they're hosting this service online so that others that can't be here are joining us online. I know we have a certain individual in this church that's serving in our military, and he's watching in Germany right now online. I think it's about 4 o'clock in Germany, if I'm right, or 3 o'clock, something, 3 or 4 o'clock, about 4 o'clock in Germany. And so, Roger, whatever it is, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, glad to have you online. Glad to have you in-house. And look what we've been able to do. Just a little thing, just something that was in our hand, but we opened our hand and we gave it to the Lord, put it in His hand, see what He could do with it. You never know, folks. You never know how Jesus is going to use even the smallest act of kindness offered to Him for the sake of others. You never know. This week I was driving down North Vernon. My daughter lives down that street, and it was a snowy day on that day. And as I was driving away from my daughter's, there was a car that was stuck in their long driveway. I don't know how they got out of the driveway. It's pretty level land, but they were definitely stuck. And there was a man with his foot outside the door and his foot inside the door on the gas pedal and hand on the door and hand on the steering wheel and pushing with the left leg and pushing with the right leg on the gas pedal and trying to rock the car, and he just was not going to be able to get out. And I was on the phone talking to you, Tom, if you remember, at the time. And I said, "Tom, I got to hang up the phone. Somebody's stuck up here." It was nothing. He almost was getting the car out on his own. You realize how little help he needed. He only had 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot on the gas. And he was almost able to get his car out, but just couldn't quite get it. I almost leaned on the front hood and that car came out. Just that little bit of effort was all he needed. He just needed a little small act of kindness. Do you realize what we have in our hand and how the Lord can use it to multiply over and over and over again? You never know. Think of this. You never know how one of those acts of kindness just might not come back to bless you one day as well. Let's watch one of those acts of kindness, if we could please, and see how it came back to bless the person who gave it.
Yeah, I have this.
No. Why don't you get something special for Grandpa? I'm sorry. Can I return the cake, please?
Sure, yes.
I want the cake, please. I won't ask for anything else.
Next time, okay? When we can afford it?
Last time you said that.
You don't want this? I'll take it back. Hey. Hello. This is for you.
I know we cannot accept it.
Would you please?
There's no reason for you to buy the cake for us.
Well, when I was 7, my mother wanted to buy me a cake.
Mommy, I want this one.
By the counter, we didn't have enough.
Can we get something else?
It's my birthday today. Can I choose my own cake, please?
I'm sorry.
Then, there's this man. I've never met him before.
Here, have the cake. Happy birthday.
I didn't know his name. I never got a chance to say thank you. I've never forgotten about him, the man in the queue.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Can I have your contact number? Let me repay you when we have the money.
Promise me something, okay? Someday, when you're able to help somebody, you will do it?
May I know your name, mister?
Well, I'm the man in the queue.
Wow, this is my favorite. Thank you.
Let's go and put some candles.
Oh, careful. you shouldn't have spent the money.
Actually, I came and paid for it.
He gave me this note.
Please write down your address. I'll bring the money back to you later.
Thank you.
simple act of caring creates an endless ripple.
That comes back to you.
Simple act of caring creates an endless ripple that one day comes back to you. You know, the Bible says that same thing in another way. The Bible says it this way: cast your bread upon the waters, and you'll find it after many days. The picture's one of standing at the seashore on the ocean side and casting out into the surf. And the surf inevitably rolling what you cast back to yourself. And this morning we see a little lad cast his five little crackers and his two little fish into a pond, and the endless ripples that it creates. 5,000 are not just fed, but they come to believe that Jesus is the one God would send into this world. Now, who's going to be the next man, the next woman, or the next child in the queue to open up your hand with whatever little that you have and leave it in the Lord's hand? And turn that little into more than you can imagine. That's the lesson we learn from the lad, the lesson of the open hand. And know this, that no lesson learned, no matter from whom it is learned, needs be lost if we'll just listen. Please don't discount the importance of this lesson just because of the little lad from whom we learned it. Jesus did not discount the little guy or the little guy's lesson. In fact, he sent his disciples home with a reminder of the lesson that that little lad taught them. 12 basketfuls of leftovers were taken home. The Bible says, and when they had eaten their fill, Jesus told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. The Bible doesn't say, but I hope that little boy got some of the leftovers to take home to his mom and dad, show them the multiplication of what the Lord did with his little lunch. We don't know. But what we do know is those 12 disciples who gathered up the fragments, they never forgot this lesson as they collected the fragments into their 12 baskets. Souvenirs. Somebody took home that day 12 souvenirs that the 12 disciples had filled with all the leftovers from that lesson. My wife worked for Longaberger for many years. Each year, Lynn was given a commemorative basket for working that year. A really, really nice hand-woven Longaberger basket with a gold plate on it and that year's date as the commemorative basket for employees that worked that year. Our house just filled up with all these baskets. After a while, we had baskets running out of our ears until finally we had no more places to put baskets, and we had to put all those baskets into boxes. I kid you not. which is kind of silly when you think about it, putting baskets that are made to hold things into boxes that are made to hold things, putting empty baskets into empty baskets of boxes. Lynn finally donated all those boxes of baskets taking up space in our attic to a fundraiser raising money for one of our friends who was struggling with cancer, and we were happy to do it. We were happy to get rid of the baskets, as I'm sure this little lad was happy about doing what he did with his lunch, through whom the Lord's disciples learned how to open their hands and give what they had to Jesus. And we know that this little lesson made quite the impression on Jesus' disciples. This was my discovery this week in my study for this sermon. Because this miracle of the multiplication that we've read about in John's gospel, when Jesus took that little boy's lunch and turned it into a lot, this is the only miracle of Jesus besides his own resurrection that is left recorded for us in all four Gospels. Did you know that? I did not until that this week. That's the kind of impression this lad left on these disciples. These disciples never forgot this lesson of opening up your hand and giving whatever you have and leaving it in Jesus' hand to multiply over and over and over again. These disciples would give up their whole lives for the rest of their lives to this man. And they learned that lesson from this little lad. I hope this is a miracle that we all take to heart. I hope it's a miracle multiplication that we all see played out in our hearts. I hope we see our own hands opening up with simple acts of sharing and caring for Christ, creating endless ripples that bring glory to God. And all God's people said, amen. Some of you may have noticed how our mascot for our Unsung Heroes series looks like one of my grandsons. I can assure you that is not Olin behind that mask. I know it looks a lot like him. Did you think, Jenny, that it looks a little bit like your son, Olin? Did you ever think that was maybe him, that he and I snuck out and took that picture? No, one day, several months ago, as Blake and I were preparing for this series, I just typed in the Google, you know, Unsung Heroes, and this guy popped up on my screen, and I thought, okay, that looks pretty good. I think I'll use that one. So I really don't know who that little boy is behind that mask. That didn't stop me from using him, though, did it? And just because I don't know who this unsung hero was this morning doesn't stop me from learning from him either. How a little can be turned into a lot if I just open up my hand and leave what I have in the Lord's hand. He can multiply it beyond my imagination. That's a lesson that can be learned even from a little lad, even if I don't even know who he is. And I pray I have learned it, because no lesson learned, no matter from whom it was learned, needs to be lost if we're willing to pay attention. Let's pray that someone was listening here this morning and learning. Would you stand with me as we pray together? Lord, thank you for the example of this little unnamed hero. And mask or no mask, may we join him in opening up our hands and letting the Lord have whatever we have and watching him multiply it and use it to bring thousands to your son Jesus. Glory to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.